Grace, mercy, and peace be with you, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. Today we turn our attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Reading this morning from the English Standard Version. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me," dear fellow students of the word, Americans are somewhat obsessed with getting clean. Have you noticed that? Not long ago, I was visiting someone in the hospital, and I noticed that it now, apparently, is mandatory for all medical personnel to use hand sanitizer whenever they enter or leave a patient's room. We all do it. We all wash our hands frequently now with antibacterial soap. We all have hand sanitizer on our counters and in our cars. You know where we got that custom? We inherited it from the ancient Jews. Alone among ancient Near Eastern cultures, the Jews were very fastidious about washing their hands, before meals especially, so much so that they gradually came to view it as a religious duty. And that's what made the Pharisees so upset when they noticed in the section just prior to the passage I read you that Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before meals the way they were supposed to. So there's this huge conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, and it appears to be all about hand washing. But it isn't really. It's about what makes a person acceptable before God. Exactly what, in God's eyes, renders a person clean instead of unclean, pure instead of impure, saved instead of damned. The Pharisees said that salvation lay in a meticulous keeping of the rules and regulations that they themselves laid down. They thought God would accept them if they washed their hands the right way, counted their steps on the Sabbath day, said the same prayer 50 times in a row, and especially if they carefully regulated what kind of foods they ate. Beef yes, pork no, fish yes, eels no. If you ate the wrong things, you'd be defiled, ritually impure, unacceptable to God. What did Jesus say? He said they've got it exactly backwards. He called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." Physical food can't make you unclean, Jesus said, because it completely bypasses the one organ of the body that God cares most about, the heart. When it comes to the heart, only Christ can make you clean. And we need that cleansing because, let's face it, the human heart is desperately dirty. Jesus said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Of course, it's all too easy for us Christians to point at other people as if all the uncleanness lay with them and none of it with us. If we do that, we're no better than the Pharisees. In fact, we're a lot worse than the Pharisees because we know better, don't we? We know because Christ has shown us that hateful thoughts are just as bad as the sin of murder. Lustful thoughts, just as bad as the act of adultery. Covetous, greedy, and envious thoughts, the same thing as if you had committed actual theft. And we don't have to look far to find those sins, do we? They lie right here in our own sinful hearts. As they say, when you point your finger at somebody else, there's three more pointing directly back at you. You're the one who needs to be right with God. You need cleansing for your own desperately dirty heart. When it comes to cleansing the heart, only Christ can make you clean. And here's the good news, because the gospel of Jesus Christ does provide perfect cleansing. You know, if you glance through this first half of the seventh chapter of Mark, it might seem to you as if it was all law. Nothing but a scathing condemnation of the kind of awful sins that we can only too readily find in our own sinful hearts. But there's gospel here too, and for that I'd like to take you back to the first verse of our text, verse 14. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." You see, if the disease is listening to our own corrupt human hearts, then the cure for that disease lies in listening to the infallible word of our Savior, Jesus. Once again today, Jesus calls us poor sinners to him. Once again, he says, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Understand the way to be truly clean. Bring all your sins in repentance to your Savior and wash them clean in the blood he shed for you on Calvary's cross." In his most tender voice, your Lord Jesus invites you today, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." For you see, only Christ can make you clean. In one of the best loved and most memorized passages in the whole Bible, the Apostle John said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." From all sin? Really? Even from that secret sin that lies so heavily on your conscience? Even from that thing you did, of which you're so ashamed? Yes. Yes, that's exactly what the gospel of Christ is saying to you today. In your Lord Jesus, you have perfect cleansing. You couldn't have kept God's law, so Christ kept it for you in your place. You couldn't atone with your best efforts for even a single hour's worth of sin, much less a lifetime's. So Jesus carried your sins and the sins of all the world up that last lonely hill to Golgotha. And there he made perfect and complete atonement for them all. Now, not a single sin of yours remains to be atoned for. Now there is nothing standing between you and the life that goes on forever in perfect happiness. For Paul says, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Speaking of cleaning, here's one for you chemistry students. There actually is a law of chemistry, a principle called Imbezi's Law of the Conservation of Filth. It states that for something to become clean, something else has to become dirty. But Freeman's extension to that law states that, quote, "It is nevertheless possible to get everything dirty without getting anything clean." I don't know who Freeman was, but I suspect he may have had young children in his household. Counterintuitive as it may seem, this morning we've learned that there is a way for us to get completely clean without leaving behind anything that is dirty and corrupt. There is a way, but only one. Only Christ can make you clean. The human heart is desperately dirty, but the gospel of Christ provides perfect cleansing. God grant that we may rest our souls in the cleansing power of Jesus' blood until we meet him face to face in paradise. Amen. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we confess that our hearts are desperately dirty and filled with sin. We repent. Lord, extend the mercy that you have shown to others, to us as well, and apply your shed blood to provide for us the perfect cleansing you have promised. We ask it in your name. Amen. Hymn 376.
practice schedule for the evening track of rotation. Speakers and couples, can we pick them up here?